LSD itself certainly is not fatal, but for individuals temporarily irrational in mind and spirit, it can be the propellant toward a swift demise. Accidents and suicides have been reported. High on the drug, an adolescent slashed his arm and bled to death in a field of lilies. Even homicidal tendencies can emerge. The fortunate, among those who become unhinged under LSD, at least manage to stay alive. For a 14-year-old truant, it was difficult enough defining one personality, her own. She was asked when she took LSD for the first time.
Right before my 14th birthday, 13.
You're 13 years old.
And it brought a lot of things forward that I wasn't quite ready for. And I become a lot more aware, a little bit sharper through, you know, taking LSD, but I wasn't quite ready for it. It's put me in a very strange state of mind ever since. I've been taking psychiatric treatment because of my LSD trips.
When he dropped out of college, a Southern Californian named Brian found himself in a constant state of rebellion. He grew a stubbly blonde goatee on his chin. Brian, whose photograph can be seen on the jacket of this album, is a dedicated LSD user.
I would say lately it's just been about once every 3 weeks I've been turning on. And I'm on a constant high all the time. I groove on life, and that's all I need to groove on. I love life.
He was asked whether he had any fears about such habitual usage of the chemical.
No, I'm not worried about it. The only, in my opinion, the ones you hear the most about are all the bad cases, the bum trips, are the ones you really read about. And inwardly, I believe I am beautiful. And as long as I carry the thought that I'm beautiful and everything around me is beautiful, I have no worry about a bum trip whatsoever.
You've never had a bum trip?
Never had a bum trip.
Brian's boast was premature. With the consent of his girlfriend, 6 microphones were concealed in a Los Angeles studio apartment to record the actual sounds of his 34th trip. 8 people participated in the LSD party, which began at 8:30 on a Saturday night and ended 12 hours later. This remarkable, sometimes incoherent transcript illustrates a phantasmagoria of fear, terror, grief, exultation, and finally breakdown. Its highlights have been compressed on this recording to make their own disquieting points. The time is 9:30 p.m., 1 hour after the participants have eaten sugar cubes saturated with LSD. We hear Brian and his fellow travelers observing their gradual transformation.
Brian, you're getting all red. You're getting high.
I know I'm getting high. I feel it.
It's grabbed me a long time ago.
Come here, look at your eyeballs, man. They go like this. They go big and small.
They go big and small. I was looking at them.
You look at them with mine?
Yes, they go high and small. Wow. Oh, this is my first time.
I'm with you.
Okay. My eyes are watering. I don't want to stop watering.
It's just one big laughing gas. That's all it is.
Hey, Brian.
Oh,
yes, but you should. Wait.
What?
You're just starting. Wait.
You childish hog. Did you? Yeah, you slipped, idiot. He's flipping out.
I think you're flipping. I think you're off.
He's gonna eat it. Did you bite that? That belongs to the camera. Where's the camera?
This cat has been.
Where's the camera?
He's got.
Come on.
Brian, come on, man. You know.
Your camera. Right there.
No, I'm gonna look at.
Yeah, eat my records, too. What the hell?
Brian's been amusing his friends by chewing on some plastic flash bulbs.
No, really. Let's have a little reality here, man. You guys see no reality, huh? No reality.
Don't pressure, man. Because it's time. Time is beautiful.
Brian's mood is gradually changing. He orders all of his friends into another room and closes the door. He sits alone on the wooden floor, visible only by the dim light shining from the bathroom. He talks to himself.
You guys know the difference already? I do. Because I know the difference. I don't want your damn world. I'm gonna have you on so far out of my mind. I'm gonna limit that part of it. Wow. There's so... Look at everything, so... It's just so... You know, wow. What? It's great. Great. Come in. Come in. Come into my world. Come into the world of reality. Come into the world of materialistic things. Come in and be ready to be ate up by society. And if you're lucky, we can go out and get drunk tonight. And be happy. And be gay. Oops. I'm gonna get a Nirvana. Oh, beer! Everyone else can pee like that? What am I? A ballet dancer. But I can ballet! Voila! Cause they don't know what is happening to my mind. I think they're wrong. Oh, what a beautiful way to go. We get like a little kitty cat. Go pitty pat. Go kitty cat. Little pitty pat.
Meow.
Meow? I'm laying here right now. I'm flipping. And I'm tripping. Yet, at the snap of a finger, I can come down to a reality. Like I said, all I gotta do is snap them once. With one little snap, I'm right down here at the lowest, I'll be down with all the rest of the animals. Down where everyone's gonna bite everybody, and see everybody, and wanna take everybody. All you gotta do is snap a finger, and I'll become one of them. But if I don't snap my fingers, if I don't snap these two fingers here.
The time is now 1 a.m. Brian is unable to snap his fingers and terminate the trip, which continues.
I ain't never gonna snap them two fingers. Always gonna be happy. Gonna be together. I don't, you know, there again, you're putting it in the world where you gotta have, you know, just like, I don't mean like that, I don't mean like that, man, I just have a drink all day and I ain't gonna do nothing. I'm gonna stay right where I am. But see, you're putting it up in the world there again, man. You aren't in the world, you're in here. Here I am. You understand, you know what I'm saying? You don't know what the hell I am, do you? Why? I could be my head off. I don't even know if I can ask myself why anymore. Who am I? I know, I can't think who he is.
He sobs as his joy turns to fear.
What? Don't turn the lights on, man. Turn the lights off. Man, turn the lights off. Turn the lights off, fool. That's all I'm asking of you. I want everybody out of here.
True.
I don't give a cool. Everybody out. Right now. I don't give a cool. Out. Come on. Everybody. Man, I'm in the scene. I'm right here in the middle. I'm pacified. I'm happy. I'm enjoying life. You aren't content to let me be, are you? Get off my back! Wow. Wow. Somebody's gonna pay for this bum trip, boy. This is a bum.
Brian's rocky journey ended 12 hours after it so innocently had begun. He was shattered by it. Dr. Sidney Cohen evaluates its meaning.
This young man never had a bummer in some 33 LSD trips. Every one of them was a delight. Everything under control. He needed only to snap his fingers, and down he came any time. But on voyage 34, he finally met himself coming down an up staircase, and the encounter was crushing. Without the help to bail him out, he was caught up in a disorganized turmoil, in a hell of madness gone mad. This, then, is the bum trip, the final face-to-face meeting with oneself, with the whole choking mess of personal conflicts bursting forth. Brian had successfully slipped around them on 33 journeys, and this one started out no different than the rest. But then he was hurled into a chaos that never seemed to end, and with no one to help him deal with it. Perhaps this was more than a bum trip, from which one eventually recovers, little the worse for a ghastly day, which was an eternity. For there has been a change. He remains shaken, unproductive, verging on something a little more ominous. Brian learned nothing from it. His friends? They went their merry way. His family? They don't count anyway. If he should break down completely, he becomes just another LSD casualty to be cared for. Was this the last of his explorations? I wonder. The strange, childlike thinking of the acid set goes something like this. If LSD got me into this buzzing confusion, then LSD might get me out.
The abuses symbolized by Brian's bum trip worry those concerned with the untapped potential of the drug. Already there's promising evidence that LSD has relieved the anxiety and pain of terminal cancer patients, aided in the treatment of certain mental illnesses, advanced the limited progress of some schizophrenic children, and helped to rehabilitate chronic alcoholics like Charles Diedrich, who, after taking LSD, founded Synanon, a rehabilitation center for narcotic addicts. An amendment to the Federal Dangerous Drug Act recently made LSD manufacture, sale, and transportation felonious. California and Nevada statutes make mere possession a crime. The LSD cult, predictably, views such regulation with rancor. Leary contends that LSD is religious in nature, and banning it would violate constitutional rights. Mrs. Laura Huxley, the widow of Aldous Huxley, who visualized the acid era in his book, Island, vociferously opposes the suppression of LSD. At the same time, she points out the advantages of its use.
When abused or misused, it can become dangerous. But in that sense, an automobile is also dangerous, yet we drive all the time. Freeways are dangerous, drinking is dangerous, smoking is dangerous, some sports are dangerous, falling in love is dangerous. But I mean, being alive is a continuous risk. I am convinced, however, that the psychedelic experience is one of enormous importance and must be approached with respect and love. For psychedelics are stimulators of ideas and feelings, but generally, these ideas and feelings would express themselves constructively rather than violently or destructively. If it were possible during a riot to spray small doses of LSD from an helicopter into the air, people would soon quieten and not be hurt.
Where such a proposal may seem impractical, a group of recalcitrant teenagers in Amsterdam, Holland, recently did attempt to improvise their own version of Mrs. Huxley's theory. They threatened to disorient the local population by placing several ounces of LSD into the city's water supply. In the United States, authorities seriously lack the necessary fingers to shore up the LSD dike. Despite existing laws, a cascading LSD torrent is upon us. Three-day binges are becoming stylish. Dosages escalate. While authorities agree that LSD is not physically habit-forming, it can become psychologically habituating, and not only for teenagers. Worse than psychological dependence, for some, is the emergence of the drug as a fashionable commodity. Its increasing usage, especially in acceptable circles, has prompted a unique variety of testimonials. A Los Angeles girl declares,
I mean, a lot of people say, oh, it can make you sterile and it can make you lose your sight or deteriorate your brain or all this kind of stuff. I don't think that having children could make up for what I'm going to get out of it eventually. Because well, you start getting into philosophy when you talk about that, but I mean, you start saying, why am I alive, man, you know? And if you are ready to die when you die, and you know what's happening, or you think you know what's happening, then that's a lot better than having 10 kids. It'd be nice if people could get it as a graduation present from college or something. It'd be a beautiful thing.
The graduates of a Southern California prep school have already implemented the young lady's suggestion. Some 67 of them recently celebrated their convocation by turning on with LSD. Now, if there's any doubt that LSD looms as the new chic, one can only note a recent Manhattan wedding where LSD mixed with pineapple juice was served at a penthouse reception. The 80 guests tripped out on views of the East River while the altruistic newlyweds tiptoed away on their own honeymoon trip. So that they won't be considered square, vulnerable students bow to pressures to dip into acid-laden communal punch served at large gatherings. Bacchanalian romps on the lawn and mixed skinny-dipping revelries have become commonplace amongst the acid heads. A pigtailed brunette was asked whether she had sex, under LSD.
No, I wouldn't want to. I really wouldn't. No. You can be with somebody you like to be with, and just touch their cheek or hold their hand, and it's the most beautiful thing in the world. You don't need sex under LSD. You don't have to do that. I really think it's just, I don't know.
It's a weird trip.
It's a weird trip. Because you're so satisfied with just holding hands that going for more than that isn't beautiful anymore.
The sexual element is discreetly downgraded among the pariahs of LSD and emporia like the psychedelic bookshop in San Francisco, which purveys LSD guidebooks, quarterlies, lecture courses, and atonal music while avoiding more prurient merchandise. One of the leading LSD spokesmen, however, is poet Allen Ginsberg, a heavily bearded remnant of the Beat Generation. When sufficiently stimulated during many of his public poetry readings, the sound is unforgettable. The blending of a sustained organ and finger cymbals form the unusual background for his mystical chants.
A bubble of assuaging all suffering.
Paramita Mantram and proclaim Mantram says, gone, gone, completely gone, completely, utterly gone.
Ginsberg was one of the early advocates of peyote, another mind-expanding drug. He's taken LSD several times. One can only wonder how these experiences have affected his point of view. Here he recounts his catharsis in the wake of LSD.
Head of the Nyingma sect, when I brought him my sorrows of LSD, said, if you see anything horrible, don't cling to it. If you see anything beautiful, don't cling to it. The highest perfect wisdom sutra taught me by Jack Kerouac 10 years ago, later taught me again by Gary Snyder last year, later impressed on me again by an experience of the wave vibrations of the universe under DMT at Ken Kesey's house in California, is a statement about the nature of the universe which is accepted by the Tibetan Buddhists, the Zen Buddhists, the Theravadans, the Hinayanas, the Mahayanas, all the Yanas of every direction, of all universes, in and out, all sentient beings accepting tranquility. Fairly well. Well, fairly.
Ken Kesey is another prime mover in the LSD order. He organized and incorporated a peripatetic repertory troupe called the Acid Test, a group formed to simulate and stimulate the LSD experiences for paying audiences. Projectors flash signs, messages, and kaleidoscopic patterns on the walls. Blinking strobe lights silhouette the dancing throngs, making them resemble fragmented memories of an LSD high. Here's one sample of the Acid Test music and lyrics.
No Christmas here, there is only a ship, there is only you, there is only me, there is only us. So if you ever feel your mind and body leaving the ship, you just got to grab out and touch someone on the hip, because that's all that's left is the ship. And we're all on the ship, and we all are gonna make the trip. We're on the ship. We're on the ship, and we are going to make the trip. Oh, they're going to make the trip, because we, once we signed up on the ship, we had no choice but to make the trip. And so we're going to make the trip, so us in, we got us in.
That last bit of energy pushed us completely into uncharted realms.
The supporters and detractors of LSD currently are at loggerheads and will probably remain that way interminably. We've attempted to objectively display both points of view. On the basis of the evidence, however, the answer to the LSD problem should be just about as obvious as the basic question: is this trip really necessary?
Hello?